gathered together as the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Holy Spirit among us, and pray, Father, that you would open our hearts and minds this day, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, initially when I got here to church, there weren't very many people. And so I was thinking, well, I guess that's what the popularity of Lent is all about, isn't it? No. But actually, it's filled up very nicely. You guys are really incredibly thankful. It's wonderful to see you all. You know, it just seems like things were just starting to settle down, you know, in the world when new things start happening. I was telling them before, I don't think I've had a single person with COVID in the last 2 weeks. You know, we're still testing people. I told you last time, you know, I hadn't tested anybody, but we've tested some people, but they're all negative. So at least in my little microcosm over in Waynesville, it's not around right now, which is, praise God, that's wonderful. And so we get to replace that with a war. It's like, oh my gosh, you know, could we have just had a little bit of a break or something like that? And so I try not to look at the news, but I have looked a little bit of the news about the Ukraine war. And I think it hits a bit closer for Americans. And I think it is because Ukraine is really a Western country. And if you look at it, look at the pictures, it looks a lot like around here. And, you know, its people are really Westerners. They gained their independence. They have embraced, you know, Western culture and Western government as well, too. And you may even know some Ukrainians yourself, because a lot of them immigrated here as well, too. And so I think that that seems to hit a little closer home to us, the fact that Russia has, you know, invaded them. And it also kind of makes us wonder about the rising of a new Cold War as well, which is no fun. That may not just include Russia, but perhaps China as well, too, because they're all kind of working sort of together, or maybe they're close to thinking about doing that. And then when we combine that with things like the supply chain problems, you know, we hear about in the U.S. and, you know, we passed by the gas station today and it was $3.99 at the good place. And so the gas prices are going up, you know. It might be trying to increase your anxiety levels all over again when you just thought that you could take a little bit of a break. But I know that you all are very much aware of what to do when those anxiety levels increase. I know that you guys, the faithful, know exactly what to do in tough times. You've been doing it for all your lives. In the last, especially the last 2 years, shall we say. Although that's not really the only beginning of it, is it? Because you know that God, the God that you all serve, is in complete control. He knows exactly what he is doing. He is not surprised by these events and the things that are going on. And he has got us covered, right? You know that. You are the faithful. You guys are veterans. You've been through it all, haven't you? You know about personal prayer. You know about meditation with the Holy Spirit. You know about being close and having that time with God. And you know who to turn to when things are bad or get tough. And so, therefore, my sermon is going to kind of take a little bit of a different tack, okay? Maybe away from the normal Lenten type of sermon that you might expect. And of course, here we are just starting Lent. This is first Lent. What am I doing? I don't know. But I'm going to go a little bit different today. Okay. Today's gospel, which you just heard about Jesus being, you know, forced into the wilderness and tempted by Satan those many times. And these temptations that he, was subjected to by the devil are temptations which are fairly common to all of us. And, but again, you know how to handle wilderness times. And you know this gospel. You know exactly what happened here. And we're kind of in one of those wilderness times once again. All right? It seems like we didn't come out of it. But at least for the moment, we have a breather from the pandemic. We can kind of take a little bit of a break from that. You've been training your whole life for this stuff, okay? But what about other people that you interact with in the world? Just think about them. How are they able to cope with this? With these, you know, waves of trouble that have seemed to keep coming through, you know, oh my gosh, first there was a pandemic, and then we had all that kind of stuff, and then we had the social, you know, upheaval that occurred with that, and then, you know, more pandemic, and then now finally this, and now we've got other social upheaval things going on with that. How are people out there who don't know Jesus managing? Well, you know people who don't know the Lord, and you know how they're trying to cope with things. If you look at the CDC, I would say that they're really not coping very well. Suicide rate is climbing. And in fact, it's now entered the top 10 causes of death in the United States. Now, number one, heart disease, but it has, it's number 10. So it hadn't done that before in the United States. Okay. That's big. People are not able to cope very well. They're struggling with all of this stuff. They're failing to live in our 21st century utopia. Somebody laughed, right? So would I. Right. And so now, even more than ever during the height of the pandemic, it's time for us to be sharing our hope with other people. Our faith and how we are able to cope with all of this stuff. It's time to step up the attack, so to speak. Trying not to use this military metaphor, but there it is. You see, so to that end, I think that we need to examine a couple of other things. We need to help people manage the wilderness times that they're going through, okay? And so I want to give you some practical stuff. The Lord said, give them a practical, you know, work about being able to share their faith with other people. And so I'm going to give you three things to think about in sharing your faith with others. Okay, this is a practical guide, all right? First, live a consistent holy life. Second, be a friend and a good listener. Number three, ask God to give you opportunities to share your faith with others. All right, so we're going to dive right into it. Live a consistent and holy life. Well, you know what? You can't share your faith if you don't have one. So it makes it kind of important that you actually have a faith, that you actually believe in Jesus, that you, you know, talk to him more than once a year on Christmas or Easter, you know, twice a year, that kind of thing, in order to be able to share that faith. So the first step is for you to have that close relationship with him. It's for you to examine that close relationship with him to make sure that you are on the up and up with the Lord, that you've got it all put together again, okay? And here's a great time to do that, Lent. All right. You can examine yourself and find out where you might be lacking a little bit or where you might have put a little barrier up between you and him. He doesn't put up the barriers, but you can. And again, this is the very thing that you guys have been doing for years. You've heard us preach this for years and years. And so we have to be in relationship with God if we're going to share our faith with anybody else. And a very, 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 let me emphasize, very strong part of that is that we have to do it with Scripture. Jesus fought the devil in the wilderness with Scripture. And so should we. Spending time in your Bible, spending time reading the book in whatever form, or if you have it on here, is incredibly important. And, you know, you can do it as part of your daily readings. You know, I use the CDC's webpage, which has the daily office plus the readings for the day. Oh, my gosh, I don't have to go searching for which one is which. I get confused real easily and distracted. So you can use one of those things. It doesn't have to be the one from a CEC. It can be, you know, any one of these. But doing your daily prayer and being in the Bible daily is key, okay? You know, the Lenten meditations that Father Bill is putting out right now, the bishop's daily devotions, can help you to supplement that regular Bible study and reading, right? You need to recognize your sin and confess it regularly. You need close personal time with Jesus where you can listen to him. It's essential because you must know Jesus to share Jesus. All right, now think about it. Why would anybody listen to you? Now, I'm not saying that in a bad way, okay? But think in your heart, why would somebody listen to you? Why would they take you seriously if you're going to talk about something like this that is that important? Which the world would say that we are just superstitious people, you know, who, you know, live in the dark ages. Why would they listen to you or take you seriously when you talk about a being that they can't see? Well, the first thing is because usually your life stands out to them. You're different somehow than other people, hopefully in a good way. You see, people do pay attention as they go around through their lives, and they can see if you're sincere or not. They can tell if you really live this life of Christianity or not. You know, non-Christians often look at us as hypocritical because, you know, we say one thing and we do another, right? And we are often guilty of that charge, no doubt. And only being in Christ overcomes that, to where your life actually speaks the gospel. Our ads, our words and our actions speak volumes about us, and I hope in a good way. But you know what? We aren't perfect. I'm not perfect. You know, living a holy life is not the same thing as being perfect, okay? It's more about staying in close relationship with Jesus because he's the Holy One, okay? You can't be holy any other way than with him. And so once again, that's what Lent is for, is to help you with that. I encourage you to participate in everything you can through Lent. And so that first point that I mentioned is live a godly life. Live like you mean it, another way to put it, because people are watching you, okay? That's the first thing if you want to share your faith. Live a godly life. Number two, be a good friend and a good listener, okay? I probably told you my story, you know, of Pritchard Park when I was a little child. You know, the problem with preaching to the same, you know, congregation over so many years is you probably heard all my examples and experiences. But I'm going to say it again, okay? When I was young, lived in Asheville, I remember my parents took me down and we were doing something in downtown and we were on Pritchard Park and it was a very busy place even at that time because the buses all changed there. They didn't have a bus station. And so all the buses were there. And I remember on the street corner, there was this fiery evangelist, you know, who was preaching on a soapbox with his floppy Bible, you know, and no, like that, you know, and he seemed so angry to me. It made me scared. I was afraid. I was just a kid, you know. And I guess I'd have to say I didn't get much out of his preaching. I don't know why, but I didn't, you know. I didn't stand a chance of being able to hear the gospel that day because I was afraid of him. You know what? I needed him. I didn't know the Lord then. Didn't really come to know the Lord until I was an adult. So that strategy didn't work on me, you know. I needed somebody who would be a friend and a good listener. I don't think he was that. But you know what? I would give a friend, someone I know, my attention. I might even take their advice. Interesting. If there's someone that seems to care and is willing to listen to me, then I might be willing to talk to that person and, you know, open up to something completely new in my life. And so that is what it means to be a friend, right? That's what it is to listen and to care about somebody else. So that's next. you actually have to cultivate the art of listening as part of that as well, too. You have something incredibly important to tell them, and you want to tell them this thing, but you have to listen first. And you may have to listen a long time. See, the idea is that they need to have their grievance heard. People need to feel as if they have been heard and understood. And we have to listen with the intent to understand them, not just to reply to them with the gospel. You understand the difference? You see what I mean? Listening actually, to understand them might include more questions. Well, I don't understand about that. Tell me what's going on there. And that will allow them more opportunity to share. But instead of an instant answer, like, I know the answer for you, it's Jesus. I'd be like, what? People have to be heard. So you have to listen to them. And take some time and actually care. And you know what? Finally, if God actually does, you know, bring that person to Christ that you're talking to, you're going to have someone much more than a friend then. You're going to have a brother or a sister. Cool. You know, once again, it comes back to that thing we call relationship. Oh, yes, relationship with God, relationship with others. That vertical and horizontal thing. You have to have the vertical relationship with God in order to have the horizontal relationship with others and to be able to share and to be able to enlarge the kingdom. So be a friend and listen. Easy, right? First thing, live a godly life. Second thing, be a friend and listen. The third thing is to ask God to give you opportunities. Okay? Now we're talking about prayer again here. We started with prayer and we're coming right back to prayer. This third part. You have to ask God to use you. Now, you don't have to, I'll say that. But you know what? If he knows that your intentions are to share what you know about him, then you probably allow that to happen. They'll probably put people in your pathway who may want to know or need to know about him. You need to be intentional about this part, okay? Ask God to use you, to direct you to people that he wants you to reach or that he wants to reach. It should be a part of your morning prayer. Lord, send me somebody that I can tell about you that is hurting and needs to know about you. That's all you have to say. But if you say it with sincerity, then God will answer that prayer. So it should be a part of your daily prayers to ask for this if you're going to go out and be around anybody in the world. And you know, when you meet that person, when he leads you to that person, then you can quickly pray inside yourself with the Holy Spirit to be available and to use you, to make you available. You know, we're charismatic believers here. We have the three streams, the sacramental, the charismatic, and the evangelical streams. And the charismatic and evangelical work very well together. Okay, because you have these incredible gifts that are far beyond just being able to share words with somebody, where you can actually maybe do something that demonstrates God's power. And it may be something like a word of knowledge. You know, the Lord told me that you're having trouble with this. Or it may be a prophecy. The Lord said that he wants you to know. We have that incredible extra thing that maybe some Christians don't recognize in the charismatic, in the spiritual gifts, because that's what they're for, is for others. You know how, you know, like in a service when the priest or another parishioner or the bishop points you out and says, I have a word of the Lord for you. Do you know that feeling that you get? Oh my, you know, a little bit of trepidation, but wow, the Lord actually recognized me and knew that I was here. And you get this word. It's an incredible feeling. Imagine if you don't know the Lord and you get that word, how it will feel to somebody who doesn't have anyone else besides themselves. It's a good thing. Okay? And so it's good to cultivate the spiritual gifts for this reason. you can tell people about things that have happened in your life. Again, you're charismatic Christians. You've seen healings. You've heard words. They have changed your life. God has spoken to you actively in your lifetime. And you can share that with others. You can tell them about the power. Because you know what? You're a witness to the power. Okay? So it's okay to share that with people. I'm not saying that you're going to rush out there and do that with everybody, but God will prompt you. You know, it says don't necessarily have to have something all laid out before you are going to talk to somebody, but it's nice to have at least a little baseline here. And he'll prompt you for the words. He'll give you the words to say. You know, it may be a real simple word like, you know what, I feel the same way. I don't know what I'd do without Jesus to get through. And that may be as much as you're allowed, but maybe not. And you say, well, what do you mean, Jesus? Well, let me tell you. You see, yeah, in sharing our faith, in everything that we do, we have to remember that it's God's business to turn their heart to him. It's not your business. You can persuade people all day long, but it's not enough. God has to be the one who does it. Your job is to share the message and what you know of him. And then it's up to him. So, you know, when an opportunity happens, when you actually get this chance and you're like, oh, right, this is great. Always remember to approach the conversation in love. Don't be arrogant. Don't be preachy. We're the only ones who get to be preachy. I hope we're not too preaching. I mean, can you relate to perfection? I can't. I'm so far from perfection, I'm not even in the same ballpark. You see, as Christians trying to live holy lives, we still have to recognize our imperfections and our shortcomings, even sometimes to other people. I know I try, but sometimes I don't always succeed. I mean, who would you rather talk to? This guy who tells you, oh, I never sinned. I haven't sinned since I got saved. In fact, I can't remember the last time I sinned. Or the other guy says, man, I struggle with that every day. I thank God that he's merciful and he forgives. Don't know what I'd do without him. I think I'd rather talk to the second guy myself. I can relate to him better. You know, that's the story of the justified sinner, right? The Pharisee who said, God, I'm glad I'm not like other people. And the other one is, oh, Lord, help me. Have mercy. See, people are going to be easy to accuse you of hypocrisy, like I mentioned before. And all you can say is, I know. Yeah, you're right. I'm not perfect. But I'm trying. I'm the first to admit that I'm not perfect. But that's why I need Jesus in my life, because I'm not. Maybe you do too. Good help, right? You see, when you get a chance to speak, tell them about his love. Tell them that he created love. Tell them that he loved us first, and he always does, and he always will love us forever. Tell him his message is love and forgiveness. Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross for us so that God will forgive all who call on him. The gospel. I remember one of the trips that I made to Haiti years ago, I met a lady whose son had been sick and there were no doctors around. So she took him to the local witch doctor. Well, with his ministrations, the son died. And she carried that guilt with her for years, that she had taken him to a witch doctor. I counseled her about God's forgiveness and his love. And I prayed that she would have that forgiveness and love, prayed that with her. And that if he could forgive her, then she could forgive herself. You know, like so many encounters that you have through your life, you don't know if it worked. You don't know what happened. But I pray that it did make a difference for her in her life. Because remember, we're all sinners in need of a Savior. all of us. The only difference between us and those out there is that we know that, and we know the Savior. So finally, it comes down to telling people the gospel. You know how when a new series comes out on TV or on Netflix or something else, you know, you get really excited about it. I'm trying to get excited right now about the series The Chosen, you know, which is about life and times of Jesus from a different perspective. And so far we've done 3 episodes, and that's okay. I'll let you know more as I go through it. But when you find something that's really good and you just want to share it with people, you know, this is a great series. You need to watch it. You probably need to watch The Chosen, okay? Just a little thing there. You know what? That's the gospel too. It's good. In fact, it's really good. In fact, it's the greatest. And in fact, you need to share it with people. You know what? I know this thing that's really cool. It's called Jesus. He is called Jesus. 1 Peter 3:15 says, if anyone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. The gospel is very simple. Jesus died to save us from our sins. We can receive his love and forgiveness. Billy Graham said, I do not have to make the gospel relevant. It is always relevant in any part of the world. You see, lots of people, my whole impetus for sharing all of this stuff with you is that lots of people are going through the wilderness without Jesus. And the problem is that the wilderness doesn't go away for them. After 40 days, it's not over. They continue in the temptations and those things the devil throws at them. And they don't have a defense except you. But you can help. God put you here for that. He put you here to live a consistent and holy life. He put you here to be a friend and a good listener. He put you here to ask him for those opportunities where you can share your faith, pray, and to allow the Spirit to use you. 3 things. But we want you to take away. You see, this is a primer. I mean, there's so much more that you could go into. You know, volumes and volumes have been written about it, but it doesn't have to be complicated. You can step out there tomorrow or today and maybe make a difference, as I know that you already have in your lives. But your lives are not over, and so your work is not over. Above all, remember that it's his business to turn a person's heart to Jesus. I'm guilty of being more of a passive evangelist, you know, or just trying to live a good life and waiting for someone to ask me about Jesus. But the times are calling for more than that now. It's time to be more active. I'm not saying that you should give out tracts or preach on a soapbox in Pritchard Park, okay? But I am asking you to ask God to send people to you who need to know his message and need his love and who need to be brought out of the wilderness. Amen.